You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
Lynn Smith is a former Today correspondent. She was an NBC and CNN anchor. Today, she is the CEO of Lynn Smith Media and Communications, working with Fortune 500 executives. She is the author of her newest book, Just Keep Going. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
Yeah, excited to have you on. Tell us a little about your personal life, more about your work, and what motivated you to write the book.
Well, I'm a busy boy mom of two. That's what I always lead with. And I left the TV news business because I felt like I was more of a problem than a solution with the way that the news has devolved over time. I wanted to have more of a purpose. I wanted to help people. So I reverse engineered what it took for me to show up on camera with clarity and confidence and connect with an audience. And now helping executives do the same, whether that audience is their employee base or if it's a keynote or a media appearance. And what I discovered in working with these really successful executives, you know, they'd reached Fortune 500 companies, so of course they're successful. But fears is really what continued to hold them back from that next level, whether that was becoming a better communicator or having better executive presence, whatever it was, it drilled down to fear. Fear of being misunderstood, fear of saying the wrong thing. And I thought, if this is happening at the highest levels of success, then it's got to be happening to all of us. I knew that I was somebody that had a lot of fears. I realize everybody is, right? We're driven from this place of fear. So I wrote the book, Just Keep Going, in order to face our fears earlier. Imagine if we were doing this in the classroom and not the boardroom, and children can understand that fear is not something to stop them. It's something to push through and to just keep going to get to where you want to go.
Just got to keep swimming, Lynn.
Exactly. One foot in front of the other. And we need that message these days just as much as our kids do.
1,000%. You know, anytime I'm trying to figure out how to solve a problem, I will at one point go to, why not focus on teaching young people how to do or stop doing X, Y, or Z?
Right. So
I love everything about it.
Imagine if we, at that young age, because I love what your podcast does, right? It encourages all of us to be our best selves. And we're doing this after we've had years and years and years of maybe not focused on that. So if we can raise a generation that is starting from such a amazing foundation of resiliency and courage and bravery, think of all the things they could do in this life with that skill set. And we try and do that as parents. We try and do that as educators. But the goal with this book is that there's a magical way to learn that, that doesn't feel like your parents telling you, be resilient. It's like, what does that even mean? Or someone in school saying, you know, be tough, be brave. That this is sort of this magical, whimsical tale of a mouse learning that through the help of his friends.
And isn't that the truth? We need to be able to show, not just tell. So what better way than a mouse telling a story?
That's right. That's how they learn.
I love it. So it's interesting. I'm always fascinated by scale, because the number one athlete in the world looks at the number 100 athlete in the world and thinks, well, they're not even close to my skill level. But I look at the number one athlete in the world and I think, oh my goodness, it's such a huge difference. So my point being that if you become a CEO of a Fortune 500 company, there's still lots of room for fear and growth within that, where somebody from the outside would look at that and say, well, they've already reached the pinnacle, but that's not necessarily the case.
No, and there's such a personal development that comes from reaching the top. It can be very lonely at the top. You hear that expression, and it truly is because you're surrounded by a lot of people that just tell you you're great. You know that there's always room for improvement, and you want to be able to show up and succeed for your teams. You are the visionary of your company. So in some ways, getting that title is just the beginning. It's never really the end. And then you start focused on what's my legacy? What is my impact here at this company going to be? What's the impact that will be felt for generations to come? And when you start thinking of it that way, that's when the fears start to sink in. Well, if I say the wrong thing, the stock price goes down. If I am misunderstood by employees, they're not going to have direction. And those fears are incredibly costly in business. I tried to sort of dig into the research of this in order to sort of pin down exactly what it is that's costing US businesses. And there was a Grammarly report that was done on the state of business communication, and it found that US businesses lose $1.2 trillion every year due to poor communication, and it was rooted in fear. So it led to vague or overly complicated messages. And think about it. When you're afraid of not seeming smart, which is a legitimate fear that very successful people have, it shocked me too. I had an oncologist tell me that she was worried her audience wouldn't think she's smart, somebody who's curing cancer. So you overcomplicate the message. How many times have you heard the corporate speak? Let's synergize our optimization. And you're like, what is that? What? That doesn't mean anything. And when we face those fears, when we actually address them for what they are, externalize them from ourselves, reframe them, we get a different outcome. We're clear and concise. It's a very simple, logical message, although it gets oftentimes overlooked because we think that communication is a soft skill, when in fact, it's our thought leadership crown jewel is how we communicate.
That's really interesting. I hadn't considered
The link.
that we have for so long considered communication to be a soft skill, but in today's world, is there too many things more important?
Anything more important, especially in the age of AI? What can AI not do? It cannot influence with human energy. And human energy, our presence, how we show up, is as important, if not more important, than what comes out of our mouth. So communication is not necessarily what we're saying. It's everything from the second I came on this screen, or somebody heard my voice, if this is not the visual medium, if they're listening to this podcast, the second you heard or saw that, you made a judgment about me, for better or for worse. And there's more research behind this because I'm really a stickler. I'm a journalist. So when I see something, I want a fact behind it. And Princeton research found that the brain makes a decision about someone within 1/10 of a second. And no matter how much information you feed the brain, it never changes that initial opinion much. So by the time you've spoken, somebody's already decided what they think about you. I mean, can you believe that? I was boggled when I heard that. I was like, oh, I need to start reminding executives from the moment you walk into a room, are you bringing that energy that makes someone go, who is that? I need to know who that is. And now that's top of mind for them, 1/10 of a second.
That is hard to believe,
It is.
but I totally
I'll
do.
send you the research.
I
I
totally
promise,
do.
I'm very big stickler on sourcing.
I think that thank you. I think I've intellectually always known that how you present yourself makes such a massive difference. You see those pictures of people in the 50s or whatever getting all dressed up to go on an airplane, and today it's the absolute opposite. So, have we just stopped caring? Have we forgotten? A little bit of both.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
I think that there is a piece of us that wants radical authenticity, which I love, and I think that's great.
Yeah.
And you would never stroll into the boardroom in your sweats and a hoodie. You might get on a plane because you don't need anyone to make a judgment or an opinion about you. So that doesn't bother me as much as when I see a CEO go on CNBC or Bloomberg and they're not looking in the camera and the camera's shooting up their nose and their backdrop makes them look like they're in a prison cell. And I'm thinking to myself, like, whoa, your comms team needs to be fired. Anyone that will let you show up in that capacity is not protecting you, or you're not surrounding yourself by the people that understand every frame, every pose, every minute of human energy that is being put out into the wavelengths of the world, whether that's on television or on a Zoom call, matters. And so for anyone listening to this, if you're not an executive and you're just wanting to show up for a wedding toast, or you're wanting to show up for a Zoom call that's a job interview, whatever it is, making things matter when they matter most, when you want to make that important first impression, every micro moment counts.
Yeah. And I think that we all know that. And we can certainly think back to those times where we did see somebody that just didn't look professional at all. Like, oh my goodness, like, how does this person not know how to be on a Zoom call?
Yeah, still happens.
But for sure. And we all want to be ourselves. We can smell disingenuous, bad faith actors, which is probably one of the reasons that the news has devolved, like we talked about at the beginning, and why you wanted to leave the space. And I can't blame you for that. And we also want to be inspired and be confident in the people that are leading our country and the biggest companies and the people that we're working for and that we're trusting our career for. So we're threading that needle. Do people say, well, I don't want to have to feel like I'm on 24/7? Or what kind of feedback do you, what's negative feedback that you get?
When it comes to being out there, it's the constant content machine. It's the constant need to be feeding this narrative or the messaging of a CEO or an executive, whether that's on LinkedIn or it's in the boardroom. And it's the reality of the way that our businesses are now structured. We don't just walk into the office, have a meeting, and leave. We need touch points, continuous touch points, because people have such a short attention span. And over communication rather than under communication of what your core message is, what your beliefs are, and being consistent across platforms so that you're not saying one thing on LinkedIn and then your employees are seeing you on a town hall and you're saying something completely different. So while it's a complaint, it's a reality, and embracing it and making sure that you're showing up as the most authentic version of you in a consistent way is what's really key in this modern world.
Thanks for nothing, Gary Vee. Thanks for nothing.
Yeah. And he'll come drop an F-bomb to remind you that
for sure.
He did pretty well with it.
Yes. Gary did really well with all of it.
Yes.
So now, kind of circling back on the fear thing. Well, yeah, that everything you just said is kind of a scary thing, and I'm supposed to be showing up authentically but we are not fully cooked people. We are constantly evolving and changing. So we're sort of having to build the airplane on the fly kind of a thing.
Sure. And I think that that's, you know, you bring up fear again. Let's just go through what it is that I work with executives to overcome that fear, right? So we named the thoughts your brain bully. So your brain bully is that inner critic. It's that voice that's saying to you, oh, I've got to make more content. This isn't going to align. I don't have the right team. I'm starting over. What if I say the wrong thing? All of those thoughts are the brain bully. And I have people name the brain bully, right? Like, give it a name. Because when you, we know through research, I'm not a psychologist or a brain expert, but through research, there is evidence that when we externalize that inner critic, we are able to see it so differently. So when you name it, you are one, addressing it and identifying it and acknowledging it, but you are then externalizing it from reality, because 99.9% of those thoughts are either catastrophizing or they're just wrong. And then we claim what those thoughts actually are. They are prehistoric wiring code that exist within our human body to protect us from perceived threats. So if we think, what if I bomb this keynote, then our brain is going to send all of those messages and wiring codes that will give us the shaky hands and the tight throat and the cramped chest, because it really thinks we're about to be eaten by a tiger. So it sends cortisol and it does the amygdala hijack and all of those things to protect us. So claiming it for what it is that next step. And then we reframe the thought from, oh my gosh, I have to do this, to, I'm the CEO of a Fortune 500 company. I get to do this. I have this conversation with a lot of my executives before they're about to go on a big media appearance. I'm like, you get to do this. How many CEOs in the world would kill to be on CNBC? And they walk out there saying, I get to do this. I get to do this. And that's when you get a different outcome. So our thoughts begin in the back of our brain. They move to the front of our brain. And then that's where our decisions and actions happen. And then that results in our outcomes. So if we are feeding different thoughts, we get different decisions and different outcomes. It's just how we're biologically wired. So the idea surrounding fear and why I wanted to write Just Keep Going in order for young people to have these physical techniques to overcome fear is, you know, in the book, we talk about visualize what you want. We talk about jumping up and down so that you can get your blood flowing. We talk about taking deep breaths in and deep breaths out. Those are the exact strategies I use with Fortune 500 CEOs to help them to tame what's happening in their mind, which is the brain bully hijacking their communications.
Well, I love everything about that.
What's your brain bully's name?
It's certainly, well, I was just going to ask you if there's some top tens that you've heard. Are they human names, or are we calling them like monster names, or what?
So, such a great question. One was MF-er, which I'll spare your audience. It's a good one. A lot of critical parents. We've got a lot of people that go with a critical parent. As we know in psychology, much of what happens in our childhood, we carry into our adulthood in the form of traumas, and then those get played out in relationships, and that happens in relationships personally and professionally. So when you see people being very aggressive or they're hard to work with, just remember there's probably some good trauma that's happening behind the scenes, and people are not well right now. And so there's a lot of miscommunication and conflict that's happening in workplace and probably professional or personally too. Mine is Bob, because my son got a fish for Christmas and named him Bob. And I thought that was hysterical.
Great fish name.
But then also it's a beta fish. Mm. And so beta fish eat other beta fish. And that's what it feels like when my brain bully is rampant. It just feels like I'm being eaten alive. And I have a brain bully. That's why I created the method to overcome it. It helped me to overcome my fear of public speaking. And when it worked for me, I applied it to my clients. When it worked for them, I was like, how can I share this with as many people as possible?
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.
And I experience fear as every human being on Earth does, including the leaders of the largest companies in the world and athletes and the people that perform at the highest level. So I think that that is a really important thing to make note of, that everybody feels and experiences these things. And I don't know that it's something... is it a fool's errand to try to just avoid them and to pretend they're not there?
Yeah, I think that's what we've done up until this point. So I'll put an asterisk. Every single one of us have a brain bully except narcissists and sociopaths, because their brains are wired differently. So congratulations. You can say I have a brain bully that actually makes me human and normal. It also, I think that we, in the effort to ignore or silence, and I'm really big stickler about this, my method is not called silence your brain bully. It's called beat your brain bully, because it's impossible to silence your brain bully. Our brains are doing what it's biologically wired to do. And so when you beat it, you are just feeding it different thoughts to biologically serve you instead of biologically attack you. When you ignore it, it only gets louder. It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on a gunshot wound. It doesn't go away. And I hear, when you're dealing with Fortune 500 CEOs and executives, they hear the word fear, and that's immediate weakness. And they tend to reject it. Like, well, I'm not afraid of anything. And I'm like, okay, let's dig a little bit deeper. What are you concerned might happen? And they'll say, well, what if I say the wrong thing and the stock price goes down? Fear. What if people don't understand what I mean, therefore they're confused? Fear. They're maybe just not understanding that what their concerns are in fact fears. And so when we're messaging to them how to overcome this, we're not necessarily saying, you're full of fears. I lead them to that place where they can say, oh, it's fear that I'm actually working from. It's not this thing that I've been trying to push away and ignore. And once they understand that, it's the awareness stage. And once you get through the awareness stage, you can actually do something about what they're really experiencing, which are communication challenges, so's, rambling, executive presence that's sending the wrong message. That happens a lot with executives. They're like, I'm getting feedback that I'm not happy with something when I'm perfectly happy with it. And that's body language. All of these things are how people come to me to solve that problem, but that's just their symptom. What their disease is the fear. And once we treat that, then I can give them the tactical solutions for their actual symptoms.
It's that's just such a perfectly human thing that we think that we can solve these, to your point, prehistoric problems by just learning a new way to talk about, you know, whatever. It's just that, no, you need to address your fear bully and brain bully, and then you can incorporate all the important tools and tips and tricks and all that stuff. So
yeah, it's the only place that I know how to get results, because when I first started doing this, I was treating the symptoms. I started my company 5 years ago, and I was, oh, okay, well, teach them how to talk in sound bites, teach them how to connect to the camera, teach them how to drill down their messaging. But I kept getting the same results. They're like, oh, that makes sense. But then you'd get on there and they'd ramble and say, and all the things. It wasn't until I asked them one question that was 100% consistently the same answer, or a version of the same answer, that I stumbled upon the reality of the brain bully and then how to treat it and overcome it. And that question was, what are you afraid of? And 100% of the time, it might have needed a follow-up question, because again, fear and the executive
Nothing.
Don't go together. I'm not afraid of anything. I'm good. I might have to tweak it and say, you know, what are you concerned might happen? 100% of the time, it was some version of these four things that we call the quadrant of qualms. And it was either a fear of failure, a fear of being judged, like feelings of not enough, self-doubt, or imposter syndrome. And it fell somewhere in that quadrant, maybe closer to imposter syndrome, further away from fear or failure, but always it fell 100% of the time. And it was so consistent over hundreds of executives, when we were like, okay, there needs to be something around this that solves this massive 100% problem. When you have a 100% problem, it's like ding, 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 like the universe just knocking at your door. This needs to be solved. In the past, think about all of the different ways people have tried to solve communication problems. Power stance, say this, not that. But we keep getting the same result. We keep having $1.2 trillion lost every year because of poor communication. And I would argue it's because we've been treating the symptom and not the disease.
Amen. I think that that's right. So out of the Fortune 500 executives, what percentage are those sociopaths and psychopaths that just easily move through the world and navigate everything with zero fear and zero apprehension?
I have been very fortunate, and maybe it's because no one comes to me with the problem if they're a narcissist or sociopath, because they don't think they have the problem. But I've been very fortunate that I've not had to deal with one of them, because I wouldn't be able to help them.
What are you afraid of? Literally nothing.
Nothing. Like,
you are throwing the... Yeah, that's so
I'm
funny.
Always going to be right, so I don't have to be worried about anything.
That is an interesting reality right there. That is an advantage to be a psychopath, because you have no self-doubt. You feel totally justified in all of your thinking and all of your actions. For the rest of us, we have to take all these things into consideration in our brain bullies. And again, it's the leaders of the biggest organizations in the world and the people that perform at the highest levels all feel this way. So why wouldn't you and I as well? So,
and hopefully our kids can face this early on and we can raise the next generation of leaders. And that's really what I hope with this book, is that we are raising leaders that can guide and influence and make a positive impact with what they do in this life.
Well said. Well, Lynn, thank you so much for coming on. Where can people learn more about you? How can they engage with you? Where can they get their copy of Just Keep Going?
This is so great. Thanks for having me on. JustKeepGoingBook.com is where you can purchase the book from all of your favorite bookstores. And then we also have a free parent and educator guide there. We wanted this to just be the beginning of the conversation. So it's free. It's conversation prompts. It's a courage toolkit for your kids and a worry journal. Also some coloring pages. And then for me and my executive trainings, it's LynnSmith.com. I'm on all socials at LynnSmith TV. Hope you will DM me, share with me your fears, and join this movement to beat our brain bullies once and for all.
Love it. Well, if you enjoyed as much as I did, show Lynn your appreciation. Share today's show with a friend who also appreciates good ideas. Go to LynnSmith.com and check out everything beyond what Lynn and I have been talking about, and probably a lot more. Follow her on social media, Lynn Smith TV, and then go to JustKeepGoingBook.com to get your copy, as well as all of the other workbooks and study guides and parent guides that come along with that. Thanks again, Lynn.
Thanks for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Until next time, remember, do your part by doing your best.
You've finally broken loose from work. Three friends, one tea time, and then the text. Honey, there's water in the basement. Not exactly how you pictured your Saturday. That's when you call us, Cincinnati Insurance. We always answer the call, because real protection means showing up, even when things are in the rough. Cincinnati Insurance. Let us make your bad day better. Find an agent at CINFIN.com.